Penguin Random House Audio presents Flip the Script, Getting People to Think Your Idea is Their Idea, by Oren Claff with Andy Earle. Read by Oren Claff.
This book is dedicated to my mom. Mom, your spirited writing style, passion, and irreverent storytelling are in the DNA of this book. Introduction. Here's the big idea in 81 words. I don't like being pressured into making a purchase, and I'm not alone. Over decades of being marketed, pitched, and sold and lied to, we've all grown resistant to sales persuasion. The moment we feel pressured to buy, we pull away. And if we're told what to do or what to think, our defenses go up. In other words, buyers don't put much trust in you and your ideas. However, everyone trusts their own ideas. Accordingly, today, products are bought, not sold. If you're trying to make a deal in this environment, it's never been harder. Buyers in your industry are skeptical of new products and services, and if you're the person who has to sell to them, they'll be skeptical of you as well. They fact-check everything you say, sometimes while you're saying it, and buyers are always looking for a better deal, thinking they can somehow improve on your offer, no matter how good it is. Instead of pushing your idea on the buyer, it's a better move to guide them to discover it on their own, so they believe it, trust it, and get excited about it. Then they'll want to buy it and will feel good about the chance to work with you. This book is dedicated to showing you how to plant your idea in the mind of another so they will discover it, appreciate it, and fall in love with it on their own. But you cannot accomplish this with standard sales methods. Instead, you need to flip the script. I'm Oren Claff. Several years ago, I wrote a book called Pitch Anything, in which I taught readers a unique method to prepare and deliver a pitch that would wow buyers and investors every time. It was a method I developed for myself in the world of tech, but it proved to be incredibly useful for others as well. As word spread about the effectiveness of Pitch Anything, soon over 1 million people were using it in their everyday business. And before I knew it, I was getting calls from people at companies like Google, Amazon, and Bank of America, telling me how useful they'd found my method. Next, companies from Germany, Italy, and Russia were calling. The result? I was being invited to help pitch large deals in far-flung parts of the world. I'd never imagined my ideas would travel so far from Silicon Valley. In the years since I wrote Pitch Anything, the marketplace has changed. Buyers have become more cold and digital, and so I have changed with them, creating new methods for closing deals. These new methods are what I've put in this book. Bluntly, here's the problem. Enthusiastic sellers make an impressive pitch, but then quickly switch over to closing mode, applying just the kind of unwanted pressure that blows up deals these days faster than you can say, sign here. Or aspiring sellers will make the world's greatest pitch and then stop, unsure of what to do next, hoping the deal will come through all on its own. Both these approaches are the norm, and it's painful to watch. For that reason, I developed a revolutionary approach, a way to win every deal without spending a single moment selling or trying to close, a way to sell without selling at all. In other words, the buyer feels it's his or her idea to work with you and make the deal happen. So you don't apply pressure, you don't try to overcome objections or give chase. So here's what I want you to understand right from the beginning of this book. Closing a deal without sales pressure is not a mystery. It's not some superpower that certain people have and others don't. Getting a deal done is a step-by-step process, and it's available to anybody who knows how to follow a few basic rules. Because once you know the rules, you never have to push someone to close. Instead, you can make them feel like they came up with your idea themselves, which leads a deal to close naturally, as if it were always meant to happen. This ability to flip the script will help you in any situation and close any deal. In this book, I'm going to teach you those rules and show you the steps to persuade your prospects without pressuring them. First, I'll introduce you to the idea of inception, planting an idea in someone else's brain. From there, I'll show you how to use the dominance hierarchy and the rules of certainty to turn the tables and put yourself in a position of strength instead of the buyer holding all the cards. Next, I'll demonstrate the power of a pre-wired idea and how to make your deal feel plain vanilla, like it's the most normal and obvious thing in the world. In other words, something your prospect's mind can easily grasp. Then you'll discover how to use the buyer's natural pessimism as a force in your favor and how to be compelling when it matters most. Finally, you get to see how all these ideas work together as I describe in detail what can only be called the deal of a lifetime. To protect the confidentiality of my clients and more effectively illustrate how you can apply these ideas, I've changed many of the identifying details of the people and the companies involved, and I've fictionalized some aspects of these stories. Nonetheless, every one of these examples is based on a real-life business deal in which I use these techniques effectively. For example, let me tell you about the time I tried to sell a $10 million software deal to one of the most powerful men in Russia. Chapter 1. Why you need inception. The truly rich in Russia are called oligarchs, a term that has come to mean control, power, and ruthlessness. And Viktor, I've redacted his last name, definitely deserves the title. His luxurious office sits atop a high-rise overlooking the Moscow River. Viktor sits behind a presidential desk, wearing a tourbillon watch that I recognize from a popular gear and gadgets website. The list price of that watch, $1 million. Every wall in his office is decorated with photos of oil rigs, factories, container ships, and cargo planes that he presumably owns. Over his desk is a massive and oddly beautiful painting of an oil refinery with a caption engraved in brass, Novograd number 12. Viktor is heavyset, tall, burly. In another life, he might have been a rugby player. His smile, it isn't a smile at all. The executives of his companies fear him, and I fear him too. There are three things you need to know about doing deals with Russian oligarchs. Number one, they aren't interested in losing money ever, under any circumstances. Second, they don't make emotional decisions. Russians are raised on a steady diet of math, physics, engineering, and electronics. And they analyze every decision 10 different ways. Then they have a shot of vodka, and they analyze it one more time. Third, you simply cannot lose an oligarch's money and say, sorry it didn't work out, but I tried really hard, like you can in Silicon Valley. Instead, you need to do whatever it takes to get their money back. So, if there's a world championship of deal-making, this is it. Why would I ever leave my comfortable Los Angeles office to travel across the world to participate in this kind of stress-inducing meeting? Well, Microgenetics, the company I represented, needed to hire a dozen or more PhD mathematicians. But in the United States, these are very rare and an expensive commodity. Competent mathematicians can easily command $1 million per contract on the global exchange. And that was way over the company's budget. In Russia, however, you can still find skilled but affordable mathematicians, but not without a powerful local sponsor. Viktor was a man who could wave his finger and get us whatever we wanted. Bottom line, my client needed both his money and his approval in order to navigate the layers of bureaucracy that come with any deal in Russia. This is how I found myself standing on the 59th floor of a tower in downtown Moscow, in an office that felt more like an exhibit at the Getty Museum than a place of business. I was flanked on each side by translators and analysts, eager to get rid of me and keep Viktor on his precise daily schedule. My presentation was just getting underway, but I was already in serious trouble. At first, Viktor was listening to me with great interest, nodding his head in comprehension as I explained our genetic sequencing technology that we believed would save millions of lives and revolutionize healthcare. When I paused to take a quick breath, he jumped in to criticize my deal in perfect English. "Your software code has many syntax and computational errors." But when I countered that point, describing a rock-solid contract we had with a major U.S. tech firm that was proving the technology worked, Viktor stared at me blankly. Then he needed his translator to explain each word, even then looking distant and lost. Back and forth, we went like this. Every question he shot at me was forceful and
Sample complete. Ready to continue?